to continue, let's go on to the second common decision-making error, which is pretending the problem doesn't exist. It's typified by the statement, "What problem? I don't see any problem." Now, this, of course, was covered last week. Here you're trying to hang on to your reputation, for instance, by acting as if a mistake that has already been made does not exist. Like saying, "Well, I knew the Douglas stock was going to drop to 60, but just wait and see when it comes back to 120, will I be the hero," and so forth and so on. But, of course, the point is that when you pretend the problem doesn't exist, you jump into the box and pull the lid down over your head. By trying to ignore the problem, you are merely limiting your own future activity unnecessarily by blocking off certain alternatives and saying, "I cannot even consider those alternatives because to do so would have to be to admit the problem exists or that I made a mistake." And, of course, it's very easy to do even without trying to hide it from other people. You can be hiding it from yourself. And even then, you will severely limit the alternatives available in the future. Because in any case, there is now a certain area of your life that cannot be questioned, that must be protected regardless of the apparent consequences. And this means that when that mistake starts to rear its ugly head, more and more of your limited resources are going to be spent trying to keep it pushed down, trying to keep it out of sight and to justify it and to make it look like it wasn't a mistake. Now, here's a real goodie, one of my favorites. That is reacting to others, typified by the statement, "He doesn't control me." Every decision that you make, of course, has to be based upon the meaning of the results in mental well-being to you, not to anyone else. It doesn't really matter whether anyone else profits or loses, other than the fact that you take into consideration the fact that others must profit in order to be able to make mutually profitable exchanges with them. But let's approach it this way. You've probably run into several people in your life who have allowed someone else to make their decisions for them, who will do whatever anybody else wants them to do at any given time, or apparently that's the case, and they don't even seem to be bothered by the fact that somebody else is apparently making their decisions. And so that kind of mistake is very easy to see, and you proudly announce that no one makes my decisions for me. But then this can lead to a counter problem, one that may be even worse, because it isn't recognized for what it is. And this is the attempt to make sure you're not doing what someone else wants you to do. And your decisions become based upon the effect that they will have on someone else instead of the effect they will have upon you. In other words, if you don't like John Jones, and John Jones has made it clear that he wishes you would do something, then you do just the opposite. And of course, your reason for doing so is to prove that John Jones doesn't control you. But obviously, whether you do just what he wanted you to do or just the opposite of what he wanted, the fact is that it was his desire that dictated your decision rather than your own well-being. Now, I know a fellow who is an anti-communist, and he reads The People's World religiously, week after week. That's the communist publication here on the West Coast. And whenever he sees that the communists are supporting a particular bill, he sits down and fires off a letter to his congressman opposing the bill. And he justifies this action by saying that he wants to be sure the communists can't control him. Then I know a particular publisher who publishes certain material in red ink in order to prove that the communists cannot monopolize a color. And then there's the wife of a friend of his who dislikes the publisher, and so she goes around patronizing his competitors, even though she has no interest in the competitors whatsoever, in order to prove that the publisher can't control her. Then her husband, who considers her to be irrational, has constructed an elaborate environmental framework in order to be able to respond effectively to any of her irrationalities. Now, of course, each one of them is letting someone else make his decisions for him, whether or not he chooses to acknowledge the fact. And because I want to influence the husband, I've been thinking about infiltrating the Communist Party so that I can negatively influence the publisher, who in turn will influence the wife, who will then influence the husband the way I want him to be influenced. But since I don't really control anybody, I think I'll give up the project and go back to work on my perpetual motion machine. The point is, of course, to get your mind off of these other people and onto your own well-being. In the same way, don't be upset if you make an exchange with someone and he walks away from the exchange chuckling to himself. The question is not, did he come out of this too good? The question is, was this the most profitable way to use your limited resources? Don't be preoccupied with how much he's making out of it, other than, of course, your natural desire to arrange mutually profitable exchanges with others. But the fact of the matter is that his motivations should never be a